Homeland Security wants us safe, and money is no object. Boeing hints at more delays in the Dreamliner program. And NASA tries to leave its pilot survey scandal in the past. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Hey, and if you count beans for the U.S. government, happy fiscal new year. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, October 1st, 2008. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security wants new 5x5-foot Kevlar-reinforced bomb-proof containers used in the cargo holds of airliners to limit the damage that could be caused by a terrorist's suitcase bomb. USA Today reports Howard Fleischer, deputy director of the Transportation Security Lab at DHS, says that such containers could have prevented the downing of Pan Am Flight 103 over Scotland in 1998. The Transportation Security Administration says it won't purchase the containers, of course, and it's a really bad time to require the airlines to pick up that tab. David Castlevetter of the Air Transport Association says each container would cost about $18,000 and weigh 265 pounds each. Available space for luggage and other cargo would be reduced, with a resulting loss of revenue. The containers are manufactured by Telair International, where engineer Robert Fu laments, quote, "We can do all this work for 15 to 20 years and have something that potentially saves lives. However, it's going to be probably left on the trophy rack," unquote. "Hey, Bob, I have an idea. We could reduce risks 100% if we just grounded all airliners. Where's my trophy?" Boeing stopped just short yesterday of confirming that the 787 program will face further delays caused by the machinist strike. Reuters reports that Randy Tinseth, VP of Boeing's Commercial Airplanes Division, told reporters in Tokyo, quote, "Frankly, we do not know when the strike will end. As soon as the strike does end, our operations will normalize. We then will be able to reassess our production, deliveries, and program schedule for the 787 at that time," unquote. Japan Airlines and All Nippon Airways had already announced they expected delays in receiving their Dreamliners after the start of the strike by 27,000 members of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. That strike started on September 6th. Japan has been a great market for Boeing over the years. A vast majority of airliners in use in Japan are Boeing models. All Nippon Airways was the first airline to order the 787, and its CEO got a five-minute standing ovation from Boeing employees at the Dreamliner's public unveiling in July of last year. Now, the first actual deliveries will be at least 15 months late, and that's a pre-strike estimate. The frustration caused by the strike is shared in Japan's industrial sector. Kawasaki, Mitsubishi, and Fuji all have roles in manufacturing components for the 787. Nicole Piasecki, Boeing Japan's president, took a philosophical tack, noting that the development of an airliner is complex. She told reporters, quote, "At the end of the day, this program has sold 900 aircraft, so we have every bit of confidence, although the payback period will be longer," unquote. NASA says it plans to update the website for its National Aviation Operations Monitoring Service, or NAOMS, to add more info from pilot survey responses. Now, if this topic sounds vaguely familiar, you might recall this is the same four-year survey that NASA undertook with tax dollars, then tried to destroy the data and cover up the results when they suggested more safety problems than were officially reported to the FAA. After repeatedly denying Freedom of Information Act requests from the Associated Press, NASA Administrator Michael Griffin finally released the raw data last New Year's Eve, following threats from Congress. Pilots responding anonymously to NASA surveys told of events they'd never report to the FAA, including pilots falling asleep in the cockpit and far greater than reported incidents of near misses and runway incursions. NASA says the data files now available, quote, "are essentially the same files posted to the website in late 2007 and early 2008. However, the files are packaged differently and contain fewer redactions than the original postings. Therefore, they provide more information from the NAOMS aviation safety surveys," unquote. NASA pointedly concludes its release by noting the announcement fulfills its commitment to provide as much information as possible without compromising anonymity and confidentiality, and that it has no plans to post any additional updates. While the nation argued over a $700 billion corporate bailout last week, the U.S. House of Representatives quietly slipped through a $488 billion defense appropriations bill. The Wall Street Journal reports the bill was also passed in the Senate over the weekend and heads now to President Bush. It increases the budgets for almost all major Pentagon programs, including $523 million for more Lockheed Martin F-22 Raptors and another $2.7 billion to pay for Bell Boeing to build 36 more V-22 Osprey tiltrotors. The bill also includes funds for General Electric to develop a second power plant option for the F-35 Lightning II Joint Strike Fighter. As ANN has reported, the Pentagon has said it doesn't need an alternative to Pratt & Whitney's F-135 turbofan, but GE has persuaded Congress to fund its competing program in each of the past 3 years. Another $835 million will go to the troubled Lockheed VH-71 program to build the initial batch of three new Marine One presidential helicopters. And after all that, the bill was still about $4 billion less than the White House had requested. Up next on ANN, a PC-12NG is down in New Mexico. NASA's reauthorization sounds like a vote of confidence. And Nebraska considers a state-subsidized airline. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 1st. I'm Paul Plack. A 54-year-old pilot returning home to Santa Fe, New Mexico, was killed Monday evening when his Pilatus PC-12NG crashed near Santa Fe Municipal Airport. KOB-TV News reports Richard Gardner was alone aboard the single-engine turboprop, which crashed about 10:20 p.m. local time, about 2 miles from the runway. Witnesses described a small explosion as the plane impacted hills west of the airport, followed by a much larger blast. Wreckage was scattered over a roughly quarter-mile area. The plane was new this year, one of the first PC-12NG models delivered in the U.S. The NG features an uprated PT-6A-67P turbine power plant and a full Honeywell Primus Apex glass panel, and received joint FAA and EASA certification back in April. Online flight tracking data shows the pilot was on an IFR flight plan from Teterboro, New Jersey. Gardner diverted to Lubbock, Texas, presumably for fuel, before continuing on to Santa Fe. The accident flight was the third leg shown for the day. Conditions were clear but dark, with little to no ambient light available from the new moon. You can read the prelim in text form at aero-news.net. Congress has failed to reauthorize the FAA, instead passing temporary extensions since a year ago. But NASA is faring better. The NASA Authorization Act of 2008, which cleared Congress on Saturday, provides funding for space programs and aeronautics research and development, and gives the next administration a clear sense of congressional support for the future of the agency. That's the assessment of former FAA Administrator Marion Blakey, who's now president and CEO of the Aerospace Industries Association. Among the highlights of the bill are an additional $1 billion to speed development of the Orion spacecraft and Ares 1 launch vehicle. The bill also authorizes $853 million for aeronautics. That's $208 million over last year's appropriation. Blakey observed, quote, "Congress is sending a clear signal to the next president with this bill that the country is serious about the importance of developing the next-gen air transportation system and in maintaining our leadership in space," unquote. The association adds the additional funding for the Orion and Ares 1 is critical to reducing a 5-year gap in the nation's ability to travel to space when the space shuttle retires in 2010. Local municipalities subsidize commuter rail and buses all the time. Would it make sense for the state of Nebraska to subsidize intrastate airline service? The Scottsdale Star-Herald reports nearly 30 people met at Western Nebraska Regional Airport to discuss a subsidized east-west River Run airline service. Commercial service from Scotts Bluff to the Lincoln, Omaha area has been a loser in the past. Westward Airways was the last company to try it, lasting from 2004 till July of 2005. State Senator John Harms told attendees the sluggish economy makes it a bad time to ask the state for money, but suggested talking about the future. Quote, "I think the infrastructure is critical. I think it's extremely important that we start to address this issue," unquote. Governor Dave Heineman agreed on the economic point, but suggested that both he and the state legislature would consider a unified and informative proposal from a task force. The Nebraska State Airline Authority Act of 1990 created the Nebraska State Airline Authority and defined a 7-member board to run it, but stopped short of funding the program. The governor never appointed any members. Supporters say it's time now. State Senator Don Overman said many people drive a hard 6 hours to Lincoln to participate in government and that it would be much easier to fly. He added that many people who make that drive are state employees, suggesting that economical airline service could save the state money. The meeting ended in a decision to form a task force and undertake a feasibility study. Another meeting is set for October 15th. After 6 events involving Eurocopter AS-350 helicopters in just the past 6 years, including 2 fatal crashes, yesterday the National Transportation Safety Board issued recommendations to the FAA and EASA to address concerns over the helicopter's hydraulic pump drive shafts, a part shared with the smaller EC-130. The board wants the FAA to require Eurocopter to identify parts that don't meet design specs and get them out of the supply chain quickly. It further wants operators of the 2 types to be required to perform a wear check, visual inspection, and lubrication of the hydraulic power assembly splines and the coupling sleeve splines as soon as possible and at 100-hour intervals, and to remove unairworthy parts from service. You can read more detail on the recommendations in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Still ahead, the Phoenix lander spots a snowstorm on Mars. United Airlines pilots continue their relentless attack on their CEO, and 2 famous flying machines are being auctioned off. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, October 1st. I'm Paul Plack. NASA says its Phoenix Mars lander has detected snow falling from Martian clouds. It sublimated well before reaching the surface, but experiments have also provided evidence of past interaction between minerals and liquid water in Martian soil. Jim Whiteway of York University in Toronto, lead scientist for the Canadian-built meteorological station on Phoenix, said, quote, "Nothing like this view has ever been seen on Mars. We'll be looking for signs that the snow may even reach the ground," unquote. Phoenix has also found evidence of calcium carbonate, the main ingredient in chalk, and particles that could be clay. Most carbonates and clays on Earth form only in the presence of liquid water. Phoenix principal investigator Peter Smith of the University of Arizona, Tucson, observes, quote, "We are still collecting data and have lots of analysis ahead, but we are making good progress on the big questions we set out for ourselves," unquote. Phoenix landed on Mars on May 25th. Pilots for United Airlines don't just want more money for themselves. They want their CEO's pay cut. The United chapter of the Airline Pilots Association says United has lost more money this year than nearly all other U.S. competitors combined. And yet CEO Glenn Tilton is still pulling down $10 million a year, the highest compensation package in the airline industry. By comparison, American Airlines CEO Gerard Arpey is paid $4.6 million a year, Gary Kelly at Southwest makes $1.3 million, and JetBlue CEO David Barger gets just $514,000. The union is calling on United's board to cut Tilton's pay, quote, as a reflection of concern and solidarity with passengers and employees who are being forced to tighten their belts, unquote. Captain Steve Wallach, chairman of the United chapter of the ALPA, complains, quote, his pay is not an entitlement. He should have to earn his money, just like everyone else does, unquote. He also notes United's stock price has fallen from over $50 a share to about $10. Hostility toward Tilton is nothing new for the union. A few weeks ago, ALPA launched a website at glentilton.com with a main page titled, quote, Glenn Tilton Must Go. United Pilots Ask Your Help in Removing an Incapable Leader, unquote. The Barrett Jackson Auction Company has recently become known for its auctions of classic muscle cars to collectors for jaw-dropping sums. But the company is auctioning off a classic Ford this January, which really breaks the mold. One of the highlights of the 38th Annual Automotive Lifestyle Event, to be held January 11th through the 18th, will be the no-reserve sale of a historic 1929 Ford Tri-Motor airplane, one that was hit by bullets during the World War II surprise attack at Pearl Harbor. The plane was recently restored to its original specifications, and just like you wouldn't insult collectors by putting a big block Chevy in a Hemi Cuda, this Tri-Motor is as authentic as it could be made in every detail and has not been cobbed up with any modern avionics or communications gear. And it is, after all, a Ford, so it's not too big a stretch at Barrett Jackson. As the company observes, quote, vintage planes, similar to the historic automobiles that cross our block, represent an incredible snapshot into our past and evoke passion and appreciation from collectors, unquote. And finally, if you think bidding on the Tri-Motor might exceed your financial flight level, there's another famous aircraft being auctioned off that might go for considerably less. It's on eBay right now, where it's failed to meet the reserve price in two previous auctions. It's the Mueller Skycar. Mueller International says, quote, the purchaser will be acquiring a piece of aviation history that is absolutely unique, unquote. How unique? Well, Mueller claims the machine is, quote, the first VTOL aircraft of its kind to fly successfully, unquote. Well, yeah, successfully as in no more than a few feet off the ground assisted by a crane. And that was after decades of hype and an estimated $200 million spent on development. Mueller adds, quote, we expect that the historical value of this original prototype will increase substantially as production models of the M200 series go on sale, unquote. Don't rush out to start an office pool on exactly when that'll happen, though. The Skycar project has been in development for over 45 years. The company was sued in 2003 by the Securities and Exchange Commission for civil fraud in connection with the sale of unregistered stock and for making unsubstantiated claims about the Skycar's performance. So, how much, you say? Well, the reserve was set at $3.5 million in the two previous auctions. The latest eBay auction started yesterday, and as of late last night, 10 bidders had run the price up to just over $1,000. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll welcome Christy Cherry to her new job at Premier Aircraft Sales, where she's introducing customers to the Mooney aircraft line in its home state of Texas. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.